Seekers. Hey, Mike Malloy here. Hope you had a great day. Welcome to the campfire tonight. Hope you stick around for a while. I'm not prepared to talk about health care insurance reform tonight, but I just spent the better part of the last hour listening to Oberman. His entire program tonight was one of his so-called special comments, and it was astonishing. I don't think I've seen television like that. Or commentary like that, ever. And, Rachel Maddow followed up. Her program's on now if you live in the East and the Central time zones. Regarding what he had to say, this won't make sense if you didn't see it, but regarding what he had to say, I'll be signing up at, the website he's going to set up soon to accomplish what he talked about. Now, how do you find out about this? Just listen to the rebroadcast of Overman's program, which here in the East will be in an hour, I believe. It's okay. You can go. It's extremely, or TiVo, whatever, tape it. Or I don't mean tape it. Record it. The entire hour that he devoted, and the plan that he has is, one of the more well thought out, actions taken for any issue, but especially for the reforming of health care insurance in this country that I've ever heard, ever, from anybody. If this was Oberman's plan on his own, he is an absolute genius. This is a guy who should be doing exactly what he's doing, I guess. All right, so if you didn't see Oberman's program, please check it out. The rerun comes up in an hour here in the East. And if you want to hang with me, then just like I said, record it, do whatever you have to do. But I think it's very important. My focus tonight, at least during this first segment, is on Afghanistan again. I've spent the better part of today going about my business, my normal day, and. Realizing, of course, because in traveling about today, I've spent a lot of time listening to Sirius satellite radio, some of their NPR channels, some of the debate, also listen to a bit of CNN, although it's getting more and more difficult to do that, about the decision or decisions that Barack Obama is going to be making here in the next couple, 3 weeks. In addition, this issue of The Nation arrived in my mailbox today. So their lead editorial, which I'll be sharing with you here a little bit later, also focused on this question of what to do about Afghanistan. And in thinking about this today and spending an awful lot of time thinking about it today, not talking to Kathy about it, not discussing it with anybody, not, making a big deal about it, not blogging about it, just thinking about it in my own head, I'm left with something that is fairly shocking to me, I guess. I guess shocking in its simplicity. And the question that's been rattling around in my head is, on what moral basis are we involved in Afghanistan? What moral basis? I'm not talking about politics, geopolitics or globalization or corporatism. I'm just talking about you and me because it's... ultimately going to be our responsibility to pay for it in terms of the people that we send to die, the Americans that we send to die. It is also our responsibility to fully accept the responsibility of waging war against a people who have done nothing to us and cavalierly referring to their deaths and maimings as collateral damage. If there is not a moral dimension to our continuing occupation and war in Afghanistan, then do we not have to withdraw? One of the stories getting awful lot of attention today is a Supreme Court case involving a cross out in the desert, the Mojave National Preserve in California. It was erected by the Veterans of Foreign Wars 70 years ago. For the past decade, it's been the focal point of a dispute over the government's decision to allow this Christian symbol on federal lands. The Supreme Court heard arguments on this issue today. And the issue of morality there is fairly clear, I think. The issue dates to 1999 when the feds rejected a request by a Buddhist group to erect a shrine near the cross. The government stated at the time that it was intending to remove the cross anyway. Congress reacted by forbidding the use of federal funds to take down the cross, and followed up the next year by designating the structure and immediately surrounding property a national memorial in honor of the war dead. This is religious corruption at its worst. War dead for this country in all of our attacks against other people have included atheists, Jews, Christians of various denominations, probably a Buddhist or two who was conscripted. I would imagine some Muslims have died in defense of this country's stories that we are there for, you know, mom, the flag, and apple pie. All of these various people who were of various religions and who are now dead, I don't think they really gave a tinker's damn as they were sucking in their last breath as to whether or not a religious symbol was going to be placed on federal land somewhere out in California. The point being that the absence of morality in our stance where it concerns Afghanistan is magnified, I think, by this argument about a cross, a symbol of Christianity. The people defending this cross, this Christian symbol, the people, and I saw a lot of them on television today with their defiant statements, in absolute disrespect and disregard of both the Constitution and people who do not happen to recognize the cross as a symbol that they recognize it to be. I heard statements of defiance and statements veiled threats about what will happen if that symbol of the religion were to come down. And of course, and again, you know, my question always about this sort of issue is I would defend with my last breath the right to somebody to erect a cross on their own property. Forever, or a Star of David, or a Muslim crescent, or a statue of the Buddha. Truly, if the authorities ever marched on to a person's property who had erected a cross and said, take it down, I would be one of the first there in all my atheistic neutrality with a rifle to say, I'll stand with you if the government tries to make you, a private citizen, remove this cross from your private property. But that's not the issue. That's not the issue here. So since there seems to be this faux morality being presented, I listened to the audio of some of the arguments, or the questions, I should say, coming from the Supreme Court justices, who seem very hostile to the idea of removing this religious symbol. The issue is not anything other than respect for the Constitution. And for the people who are claiming a moral high ground on this, where is that claim where it concerns Afghanistan? Today marks 8 years. This is now the third longest armed conflict we have been involved in. Vietnam, the Civil War, and now this. Was it the Civil War or Revolutionary War? I think it was the Civil War. And now this bloodletting that's going on in Afghanistan. Where is the morality to validate what we are doing? We are killing people in Afghanistan who have done nothing. They're trying to live their lives. We will not succeed in what the official story is as to our reason for being there. There is no way that it's going to succeed. So where is the morality to continue the killing? Portion of the Mike Malloy program is brought to you by It's Up to Us Alone, featuring Ed Asner. Go to usalone.com for information on where to hear the debut of this dramatic new radio play in your area. It's 21 past the hour. So this is the issue that dominated my interior dialogue today. Or interior monologue was where do we find a moral position for this continuing slaughter in Afghanistan? And the questions that are being raised about not just continuing it, but escalating it. Barack Obama has been pretty much presented with a demand for an additional 40,000 troops, which would bring our commitment to Afghanistan to over 100,000 soldiers. Now, for those of us over a certain age, we've seen this before. We saw this before. And I'll be a son of a bitch if hundreds of thousands of us didn't try to prevent it 40 years ago. Exactly the same thing. Do we never reach a point in this country where we learn by what we have done in the immediate past, where we take a look at the political aspect of an invasion and occupation, the blood aspect of the killing aspect, and eventually get to the money aspect, the part of this that involves ethical conduct or morality? Do we get to that issue? Are we to never discuss the killing and the invasion and the war making that we're involved in from a moral standpoint? Does it always have to be some sort of geopolitical balance sheet? We all know, those of us who still have a brain left, all know that there is nothing that we are fighting for in Afghanistan that can be reduced or elevated, take your pick, to the rational reasons for a just war. There is nothing there. And the term just war itself is madness. What is a just war? You know, Bush's invasion of this country 8 years ago was an exercise in his idiocy, his incompetence, his inability to see anything other than as a nail, because George W. Bush always saw himself as a hammer. And now we have Barack Obama. And I don't care how much of a blank slate he craftily presented to those of us who supported him. This man has an obligation from a moral standpoint to stop this. I don't give a damn what a Stanley McChrystal says. He is nothing. He's a war lover. I don't care what Eric Cantor says about, well, if the president supports General McChrystal, we'll support him. Cantor, sit down and shut up. You have nothing to say that has any basis in reality. So here, I mean, the list is endless of these war lovers. Cowards all. None of these sons of bitches are ever going to put on a uniform and pick up a weapon and go slog through the mountains of Afghanistan, killing or being killed. It's not going to happen. Where is the morality? That's all. It's a simple question for me. There has to be. You know, I get so sick of listening to these phony-ass religious people. I get tired of the Christians. I get tired of the Jews. I get tired of the Muslims. I am so over all of you with your God justifications for lies and deceit and occupations and murder and mayhem and Nazi-like actions and invasions and bombings and mortarings and killing. Screw you all. I really, truly wish you would go away, but you're not going to, are you? I like to hear just one of the war lovers or the war supporters or these great religious freaks with their avatars who talked about peace and love and balance and salvation and redemption and confession and justify this from a moral standpoint. You cannot. You cannot. But some of you will get your bowels in an uproar about a cross sitting in the Mojave Desert someplace on federal land. Oh, well, we're not going to let that come down. But it's in violation of the Constitution. Is it really impossible for this country, the United States of America, any longer, if we ever did, to take a moral position on any issue? I don't care if it's health care or the invasion of another country or supporting the occupation that one country is forcing on another. Whatever the issue is it impossible for us to take a moral stance any longer? Is it? Before the hour. I think I have the answer to my own rhetorical question. As far as a moral aspect to anything in this country anymore, on a basis of coming from any branch of governing, I just am convinced that it doesn't exist anymore. There may be some efforts where it concerns environmental issues that are starting to resurface in the Obama administration because we don't, for example, have a former lobbyist for the lead industry running the EPA now. But as far as morality, where it concerns globalized anything, whether it's foreign policy or economics or monetary policy, whatever, no. And I don't know that there ever was. But it raises an issue for me that if there is not a moral dimension to an issue, then the issue ultimately is a failure. If it may succeed in a manner of speaking insofar as a strategy is concerned, but insofar as whether or not it is good, a good thing, and we do make judgments, don't we? If there is no moral aspect, then it is not a good thing. This horror of Afghanistan that is going to apparently escalate. I don't believe at this point that Barack Obama I would love in 2 weeks to come on this program embarrassed and shameful and say I was wrong, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't believe Barack Obama is going to do anything but escalate. And doing nothing is an escalation. Just allowing things to continue as they are is an escalation, because it means an escalation in the number of dead people, Americans and Afghans, and other people who are involved in what is essentially our invasion. So doing nothing constitutes an escalation, because it means there will be more death, more destruction, more people coming home to this country with hideous injuries, both physical and emotional. Yesterday, the staff at Truthout takes basically the same position. They write, yesterday the Senate passed $128 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. This appropriation could fuel a surge in deployment of U.S. troops to Afghanistan. General Stanley McChrystal recommends an increase of up to 40,000 soldiers. If the American people had voted on this latest defense spending bill, they might well have rejected the funding. Most polls find that a definitive majority of Americans oppose an escalation of combat troops in Afghanistan. A recent McClatchy survey found that only 35% favored sending more troops. This widespread public skepticism is understandable given the war's mounting fatality rate. President Obama has lately shown well-warranted caution in preparing to deploy more U.S. troops and remains wary of McChrystal's call for a quick escalation. Still, Obama has not wavered in his support for the war. Less than 2 months ago, the president said, quote, if left unchecked, the Taliban insurgency will mean an even larger safe haven from which al-Qaeda would plot to kill more Americans. So this is not only a war worth fighting, this is fundamental to the defense of our people, end quote. Obama. In the lead up to last year's election, we, the staff at Truthout, we hoped that Obama's hawkish rhetoric on Afghanistan was simply a savvy campaign choice intended to capture the votes of so-called moderates who feared the prospect of a soft-on-terror commander-in-chief. Now we wonder whether Obama has succumbed to his own warlike words. Truthout calls on the Obama administration and Congress to embrace a firm shift in mindset and engage in the critical thinking necessary to end the war by peaceful means. How to prompt this transformation? Last month, Congressman Dennis Kucinich suggested a logical first step toward halting the military machine in Afghanistan, cutting its purse strings. Kucinich said then, quote, if the Obama administration refuses to bring this war to an end, then Congress should use the power of the purse granted by the Constitution to end the war and bring our troops home, end quote. President Obama has called the Afghan conflict a war of necessity. We entreat Congress and the administration to reframe the official story on Afghanistan and reveal the true necessity at hand to stop funding directionless violence and bring the troops home. An edited version of the editorial staff at truthout.org. Dennis Kucinich's plea of turning off or cutting off the purse strings, if taken by to a vote on the House floor, would probably gather three or four votes. We all know that. One of which would be Kucinich's. This is where we are in this country. I deeply appreciate Kucinich's refusal to give in to this this craziness. But the American people have absolutely no influence on the other 434 members of Congress to do what Kucinich is suggesting. We don't have a say any longer in these issues. We do not. The say will be had by those who profit from war. That's all. I mean, that's how obvious does it have to be? You all are smart enough to know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You know this. The nation takes this position, in the next few weeks, Barack Obama will make a decision that will define his presidency. Will he escalate the war in Afghanistan, sending 40,000 additional U.S. soldiers to reinforce the 68,000 already there? To engage in an open-ended, nation-building, counterinsurgency mission? Or will he redefine U.S. objectives and ask his advisors to craft an alternative strategy? Two events intended to bolster the case for the former: more troops. Afghanistan's August 20th presidential election and General Stanley McChrystal's August 30th assessment of the war have instead demonstrated the wisdom of the latter to get out. Opponents of escalation now include conservative columnist George Will, who editorialized in favor of withdrawal in the September 1st Washington Post, as well as Senators Richard Durbin, Russ Feingold, Carl Levin, chair of the Armed Services Committee. Meanwhile, Senators Dianne Feinstein, Jack Reed, and John Kerry, chair of the Foreign Relations Committee, have weighed in with pointed skepticism about the cost in terms of escalation. Afghanistan's recent election revealed the fraud, corruption, and unpopularity of the U.S.-backed regime there. But it is McChrystal's report that raises the gravest doubts. And I might add, from me, not the nation, I think McChrystal raised these doubts wholly unintentionally, because he's blind. He's a war lover. Back to the nation. Although it maintains, the report maintains that, quote, success is still achievable, end quote, the daunting challenges it identifies should lead foreign policy realists to conclude the exact opposite. Among the obstacles McChrystal's report cites are, quote, the weakness of state institutions, the widespread corruption and abuse of power, a crisis of confidence among Afghans, the growing influence of insurgent groups backed by narco-trafficking and or the Pakistani government, and the operational culture of foreign forces there, which poorly understand Afghan social, political, economic, and cultural affairs. McChrystal plans to integrate U.S. troops into Afghan units. With this strategy, he concludes it, quote, is realistic to expect that Afghan and coalition casualties will increase. Are Americans willing to pay that price? What is the goal of a counterinsurgency mission? How will so-called victory be measured? For now, the administration should be pushed hard to explain the purpose and logic of increasing U.S. involvement. Until it does, any escalation has failed the very test Obama established. Quote, absolute clarity about what the strategy is going to be. And John Saltz, the head of VoteVets.org and an Iraq War veteran, released the following statement on the anniversary at the beginning of the war in Afghanistan. Have I got time to do this? I don't. All right. It's very quick, but our military affairs correspondent sent this to me. I'll share it with you when we come back. And then I want to give you a couple of websites where you can participate in action or get information about action against Obama and McChrystal and the Republicans and the Democrats and the corporatists' insistence that morality has nothing to do with anything and the killing has to continue. We'll be right back.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Well, by the way, a couple of people have written to me. You don't have to leave here in about 10 minutes and watch Oberman. MSNBC.com has free video and audio podcasts of Countdown and Rachel's program. Video of Oberman's special comments are always available. That's from Jamie in Maryland. And Sheila says the transcript will be all over the web tomorrow as well as on MSNBC.com. So you don't have to. I just think it's very important to hear what Oberman had to say in his the entire program was a special comment regarding health care. John Soltz is the head of VoteVets.org. He's an Iraq War veteran who works for the end of this particular war, but war in general. He issued a statement saying, quote, after eight long years in Afghanistan, progress has been all too slow and losses way too high. We honor and remember all those who lost their lives, all those who were wounded, and all those families who have had to bear the burden of their loved one being in harm's way in service to America. At the same time, today is a reminder that we have yet to get the strategy right in this war, and the current course is untenable. It is our hope that the president carefully weighs all the options being presented to him and makes some quick decisions on how we can clearly define and achieve success in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region. Most importantly, after 8 years of eroding public confidence in our efforts there, President Obama needs to explain his decision to the American people and rally the American people to the cause. And, of course, the cause, in my opinion, is to withdraw. Now, what you can do, there's some actions you can take to demand a sensible policy from this administration. You can go to the War Resisters League. It is warresisters.org. They've been around forever. Warresisters.org. They're organizing protests on October 5th in Washington and October 7th in New York. What's the date today? That's already passed. Yeah, that's right. Today was, I haven't heard a thing about it. Warresisters.org. Go to the to their website. A website. Come on, Mike. Try English. Peace Action organization is helping activists nationwide organize out of Afghanistan house parties. Their website is peaceforafghanistan.org. House parties where hosts can screen Robert Greenwald's new documentary, Rethink Afghanistan, and bring together citizens for a discussion of the future of U.S. involvement there. Now, you can watch the video yourself, the entire movie, Robert Greenwald's movie. It's available online. It is at rethinkafghanistan.org, I believe. Is that, .com. rethinkafghanistan.com. The entire film is there. The video is there. It's in six parts. And so attending a house party where you invite people over is a good idea, but you can also do this on your own. Code Pink is collecting signatures for a petition on the Women Say No to War portion of its website. You can go to Code Pink for Peace. And that's numeral 4, CodePink, numeral 4, peace.org. MoveOn is calling on its more than 5 million members to email the president, demand a plan to get troops out of Afghanistan as soon as possible. You can go there, MoveOn.org. And on the night of the anniversary, that is tonight, the American Friends Service Committee and United for Peace and Justice have organized candlelight vigils across the country to demand dialogue and development in Afghanistan instead of just more foreign troops. And on the West Coast, those candlelight vigils will begin, I'm sure, momentarily. So there are actions that we can take that do not involve showing up for a 500,000 person march in Washington. someone made the argument to me the other day, and it was a fairly coherent argument, that those massive in-person demonstrations, Malloy, are no longer necessary. As a matter of fact, they're kind of an anachronism in the digital age. There are ways to get the message more powerfully to the people who fund the wars or order the wars than showing up in hundreds of thousands in Washington. Okay, the person who told me this, of course, is of the digital generation. I'm not. I'm from that generation that says you put the feet on the ground, you carry a sign, you scream and chant, and you let the power understand that you are not going to take it anymore. Isn't that funny? Isn't that quaint? Doesn't that sound like something from, the 19th century maybe? Okay, the 20th century? Early? Huh? Show up? Demonstrate? Carry a sign? Oh my God, really? Is that what you folks did, Uncle Mike? You mean you actually did, you got banners? Yeah, that's what we did. And we all know how effective it was. Some people will say it was very effective. Once enough young white Americans in the middle class started to die in the jungles of Vietnam, it became very effective. But that's not what we have now. We have a different situation. So maybe my young friend was entirely correct that hundreds of thousands of people stomping across the or through the streets of Washington, D.C. may not be all that effective or necessary anymore. I don't know. But there are things that we can do, and I hope we're going to do them. All right, stick around. We shall return after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Is the IR